righty, AMA, as we do every single Wednesday at this time. By the way, Nick Sirianni, our conversation from yesterday coming up in 20 minutes. Sirianni from late in the program, and John right now, AMA.
Ask Me Anything brought to you by Bush Auto Group. Shop a wide selection of Nissans, Infinities, and hundreds of pre-owned vehicles at bushautogroup.com. Philly rides with us.
All right, first question comes from me. Did someone join our show in the last 10 seconds?
Boom.
Hey!
Yes, I did.
Ruben Amaro!
Back.
What's up, buddy?
Everything's up.
How are you?
I'm great.
Boom.
Yeah?
Excited about this week. The Eagles were flying.
They're flying. You frustrated with
Sixers?
The
Sixers are pissing me off a little.
What in the world, man?
I don't quite understand it. I mean, I've been in this position where you had to sort of protect some things, but in this day and age, man, you got to be more transparent.
It's just not cool.
It's not right.
It's so truly not cool.
And the fact that the NBA has now gotten them and gotten the information and still the fans don't know what's going on.
That's right.
That is even more egregious, I think.
Yeah, it's really bad. All right, so we'll get deeper into that as we go. And, of course, Ruben with his background running organizations, fascinating perspective. James, let's get to some questions from Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. What do people want to know?
All right, let's start it off with you. Joe is from Richie in the Northeast. He says, Joe, you're far enough into writing your book to give us a teaser about what to expect without giving too much away. Were you approached to write it? Did you decide to? Tell us a little about it.
I'm not going to tell you much.
That is a great question.
Yeah.
It is.
He gave you a lot of leeway. He's not asking you what the book is about.
Pause to boot.
I don't want someone to scoop my concept.
He didn't say tell us the concept. He said, when's it coming out? How did it happen?
All right, the book may be done being written today. Today may be this may be the final proofread.
Seriously?
Seriously.
So nobody called Joe today.
That's a huge achievement.
I appreciate that.
I mean, congratulations.
Who's proofreading it?
I guess, even though you never really told us about this directly.
I mean, some point you'll, but I would say that there is a good chance today will be the final proofread. It will then be submitted. And the plan is for it to come out in the summer of 2025. So that's the plan.
Do we get any preview?
I will say this.
It
is either a book about sports or not about sports.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
Really good stuff there. Thank you.
Revealing. Really
awesome. Ruben Amaro may or may not be featured in the book.
Great. This is great. Thank you for all this.
Yeah. That'll kill your sales. Yeah.
Since you didn't really answer Richie's question, I'll give Richie another question because he has one for John Richie as well. Richie asks, John, you've mentioned you doing your DNA test multiple times. Would you mind sharing your results on air and which backgrounds you were surprised to find out you were or were not in your DNA?
Sure. My results... I thought I was a lot Scottish because my last name, I was told, used to be Mac Ritchie way back in the day, and that we were in the McIntosh clan in Scotland, and that was like 12.5%. I'm German above all else, and then I'm a quarter Serb. I also...
Really?
Yeah.
I would not have guessed that.
I'm a quarter Serbian, a lot of German, like 60%, 15-ish in like UK, but then like all those islands and stuff above, it says broadly Western European.
Like
so it's like little islands. Yeah, that stuff. And then trace Egyptian and trace
nice
Bengali Indian.
Did your
2.5% Italian, which is new. That just cropped up, and I'm so happy.
Congratulations.
Italian, because I thought my whole life I didn't have any Italian heritage.
You're going to be like Sirianni with the Italian flag on
the side of
your hat.
I'm proud of that.
Your name ends in a vowel.
I'm 50 years old. I just found out I have some Italian in my heritage.
Nice.
Yeah. Really cool.
I love that.
We also just found out it's got two different countries that fought against America in World War II, but if that makes you happy, then,
All right, let's do one more.
I don't think you can control that.
That's pretty good. All right, Dylan on Twitter asks, what's your favorite album of all time?
I don't have one. I like
great performance for me today.
I like
AMA.
The compilations. The, really brought the it best for everybody.
No.
Ew. Really?
I would say. Come on. I would say
that's
probably
like the loseriest thing to say.
I would say probably Tupac's greatest hits.
Oh my god!
No, you can't say greatest hits.
Greatest hits.
No,
like,
stop.
Like that's like the worst thing you could have possibly said.
Bruce Springsteen. Nebraska
is your favorite album?
It might be.
Really?
Jimi Hendrix, yeah, I mean, Are You Experienced? That was his first studio album as a member of the
hits.
Experience.
God, that's true. That might be your loseriest answer.
Just
in the
get right
of
to the point. Give me your best stuff, and
Ruben
I'll listen
Amaro
to
is so disappointed in
Too
you
bad.
Right now.
Too bad. Picture me roll.
Go listen to Nebraska. Bruce Springsteen, Nebraska.
Exactly. Right.
And with that AMA, we shut it down.
Mercifully shut it down.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. 215-592-9494. Dan with us right now from Philadelphia. What's going on, Dan?
What's up, guys? How are we today?
Super, Dan.
So Joe's book may or may not be about sports. Could it be yeah. about the time you tried bestiology and that's why you
hate come on. Come on. Settle down. This is how rumors start.
You may know why you hate dogs now, Joe.
Yeah, well. Yeah, that's not the reason.
The point is, he just wouldn't even know where to begin with that due to his complete lack
Wait,
of
with
zoological
what?
Knowledge.
With bestiality.
That's what I thought he was saying.
Don't you say you weren't going to talk about
that? I wasn't.
Dan, my goal
keeps bringing it back.
Wow, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Dan, here's my goal today. And Joe Wechter, Dan, just so you know, is a maestro of audio. He can take different things Devin says through the day, like when she just commented on bestiality, and just kind of edit them just so that it'll appear that Devin had an extensive conversation today.
See, this is what Ruben Amaro is always like, Devin, why don't you talk more? This is why. I'm being set up for failure
material.
Here. Words are being used against me.
All right. Stay away from All right. these particular topics, Devin.
All right, Dan, what do you got, my man, on the sports scene?
The Eagles, right? Like, I don't know. It's the Browns, the Giants, and the Bengals stink. So, I mean, yeah, was it a good performance? I agree. But was it a litmus test? No, I don't think so. I think the tests are going to start coming against when we play the Cowboys, even though they stink. But it, you know, that's going to show we can sustain a four quarter game against a division rival that usually goes from beginning to end. So those are the games that I'm going to start judging the Eagles on. But these three against these, you know.
The Bengals one is a strange game to interpret. I mean,
they're just not good. They used to be.
They may not be.
But the team is terrible. So
they may be not good. I think that is possible. Yeah, I agree with that.
I think they should have been fined $100 million, not $100,000. This is a continuous thing year after year after year after year. The deception, this skating around rules.
Yeah, $100,000 is nothing.
A total disgrace.
I was surprised at that number.
Me too. Me too.
Is it because it's so early in the season that number is this low? It just doesn't even make sense.
What's the point? Like, it's like a penny for Josh. Literally, it's like a penny for Josh Harris.
And Dan, you know what the really weird thing is? So I think I speak for most of us when we say we want Josh Harris to feel the pain and for the Sixers organization to understand they can't keep doing this stuff. And what would actually lead to that, maybe, are things like losing draft picks, things like a coach suspended, things like a general manager suspended.
I also don't want draft picks
actually taken from the Sixers. So it's a catch 22 for us as fans. Like, do I want the Sixers to lose first round draft picks? No. But I want them to feel pain that causes them to start acting like adults.
The only pain Josh Harris would feel is financially. He doesn't care about all that.
He doesn't.
So, you know, we do, but financially, you know, if you start hitting his pocket, that's when he cares. So that's what they have to do with the Sixers.
All right, Dan, but you can't also find a guy $1 billion, and even that's a drop in the bucket
for him.
Because
that,
he'd still have extra billions. I mean, it's Dan, give me a great answer, a misleading or fictional situation, a lie.
How about the Wizard of Oz, the wizard?
Wow.
That's a pretty big answer.
That is
a really good answer.
The Wizard.
It's a great answer.
So, Ruben, let's just talk more about the Sixers thing. From your perspective as an executive, how tricky is it when you are managing the following factions? Relationship with an owner, relationship with a player, relationship with a manager, relationship with the fans. I'm not asking this to let the Sixers off the hook because I still think their conduct is a disgrace, but I acknowledge it can get tricky. How tricky can it get?
It is delicate. There's no question about it, because there's also HIPAA laws and all these things that are associated with it. So you add that that layer as well. There's a ton of layers. That said, you know, I've been in situations like this, and ultimately in this day and age, word and truth comes out eventually. I think it's so important to be more transparent now than ever before. You could probably be a little bit more secretive back in the day, but nowadays there's just so much information out there that you sort of owe it to your fans and you owe it to your organization. And it is difficult at times, because you have to sort of protect the player, you want to protect the coach, you want to protect a lot of people and the organization itself. But I think transparency has become a really important piece of the puzzle in this day and age.
Let's listen. Let's go back to last week, because I think we all now know, and I think we kind of knew it then, Nick Nurse was not telling the truth when Devin asked this question at a press conference.
Is the part of the plan not because he's still dealing with that injury or re-injured himself during the Olympics?
He did not re-injure himself, but the plan is we don't feel like he's quite ready, strong enough, light enough, whatever it is.
I mean, nobody believes that. Now, he may not have re-injured himself, Devin, as you framed it, in the Olympics, but he says, independent of addressing the Olympics, he did not re-injure himself.
Yeah. He says it. Word for word.
Yeah.
He did not re-injure himself.
He's not playing.
Yeah. I feel betrayed. Like, he lied. He lied.
He's not strong enough or light enough.
He walked back the light enough, because someone followed up on the light enough comment. He did walk that back later in the press conference. I have heard that Embiid is looking like lighter and more in shape.
It's just such a disgrace, debacle, a continuation of so much that we're so used to, John, and so disgusted by. I mean, Ruben, in all due respect, it's complicated. It's not that complicated.
I mean,
you're not trying to send man to the moon, okay? There's a way to figure out how to effectively do this.
This is one of those situations where in this world. Nowadays, the head coach is asked to present this information, and I think it's wrong.
GM should step in?
I think the GM, to me, has always been the voice, because they run the organization on, you know, player ops side. And it is them that should be out there, you know, discussing these things and not leaving the coach to handle it. And in this day and age, I don't know why, but it's happened more and more, and I think it's an undue piece that the coach has to endure. It's not right for them.
I agree. And we've seen it with this organization for about 10 years now, Ray. Remember, after the Jahlil fight in Boston, Brett Brown had to answer the questions, and that was the Sam Hinkie moment.
Sam Hinkie hid. Remember Marcus Hayes' column where he's like, he was sitting over there and couldn't get to him.
Disgraceful. All right.
Hall of Famer.
This song?
He's a Hall of Famer, this guy.
It's a great song. It's a great song. I like to talk about how it's a little inappropriate these days.
Well, you talked about bestiality earlier, so
yeah,
I just want to make this clear, since that's what you were talking about, as James just referred. So you've gone from cantaloupe to antelope.
I did so. Oh,
I do not
see what you did there.
What about the fact that DeCamro walks around, parades around, shoeless?
Barefoot.
For the majority of the shows.
I did
not
earlier
even
today.
With socks on.
Yeah.
Just,
he's walking
that's
about.
Gross.
It really
out.
Is
it's a little disgusting.
Gross.
That's like being on an airplane like
Seriously,
that.
Seriously, how about I just start disrobing, Joe? Like, disrobe. Let's take my pants off. I'll take my pants off.
You
and
would
sit
probably.
Here. How
be,
would you feel?
I think you would
if
be.
If I were pantsless,
I think you would be fired.
Okay, so how is that different than
because
taking
I'm not,
your
shoes? I'm not going to be fired.
I think we all know it's very different. Come on.
John,
I think you're taking a leap there, John.
So here's the bottom line.
If I take my shirt off, is that different than taking my shoes off?
Yes,
it's
a step.
I think it is.
It's a further step, but it's not. You wouldn't get fired.
It depends on your culture.
It does depend on the culture.
Oh, my gosh.
It does.
I could go
depends
culture,
on your culture
for taking my shirt off at work.
You never know.
The point is, what are you doing hobbiting around?
Well, I had a
shoeless.
I had to talk to
again.
Wechter. I had the shoes off. I wanted to go talk to Wechter on a commercial break. I didn't feel like putting them on. That's all. But I've
said that doesn't make any sense.
I got the socks
where
back
are your
on.
Socks? Why?
Socks are on.
Why were the
are
socks
the shoes
off?
Shoes are off, socks on as I got cold.
Why were the shoes and socks off
because
while doing work?
You ready?
This is work.
Foot was itchy.
Ew.
That's all it is.
Okay, that's even grosser.
That's super gross. Yeah, yeah.
Now it's offensive.
Hold on.
Now cross the line.
Right, exactly.
Are your feet itchy every day? Why are your shoes off every day?
You get the hair on the top of the feet. You know, sometimes you got to rub them.
Stop.
You got to rub them a little bit. All right, by the way. So, Ruben, did you hear from yesterday's program, Conklin put together, because the attack ads in the political sphere have gotten out of control.
They were really out of
control. So, did you hear yesterday what Conklin put together for our show?
I did not. I'm sorry.
Devin, did you hear this yesterday?
So, I did. I had just gotten in my car, I believe, like right when it started, and I was so confused for the first like 30 seconds. I was like, "What is this? Is this an actual commercial?"
Because it sounds
was
like
actually
it.
An attack.
So
ad.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, cannot wait.
So people have asked for this to air again today. So we'll do what we don't typically do, which is air something from Conklin the prior day again, because there are people that told me they think this is the best he's ever put together.
Wow.
All right, you be the
That's
judge.
That's incredible.
But there are
Love
multiple
people.
I don't
pump it up too much because now I'm too excited.
All right. So, Ruben, we all understand political. It's gotten a little nutso.
It's that good.
So Conklin leans into what if there was an attack. And you know, I want to run for president. You know, I do consider that.
He actually believes he can.
Oh, no. I've heard that.
The lie detector test proved he believes this is real.
Correct.
No, I understand.
So Conklin's like, all right, I'm going to take a bite out of you. And he did. Here we go. Let's rev it up one last time. Joe Conklin attacking me.
Joe to camera is unfit.
Ah!
He's deranged. He promises to protect you, but he doesn't even handle his own southern border.
Manscaped.com.
DeCamera wants to put bidets in same-sex bathrooms.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Joe supports frickin' over frickin'.
It's a frickin' joke. Every frickin' time, they always frickin' mess it up.
Inflation of his ego is up 19% since last year.
Who's my man? Me!
Joe doesn't want you to know what he does on vacation.
Cocaine everywhere. It's phenomenal.
Amid rumors about his sexual proclivities.
I want an orgy.
Yeah, this is big and bushy. This is good stuff, man.
Joe can't even do his own wash.
Joey, I'm ready to wash your Phillies costume.
DeCamera is a bully.
You got your ass kicked.
And he has no respect for women.
I'll admit, I'm a pig.
Wait till you hear Joe's position on family planning.
Typically pull it out when it could benefit me.
And freedom to make decisions about our own bodies.
I gave you my nipples.
What?
Belts to asses.
Joe's promised he would govern as a dictator if elected. Rashist behavior.
Yeah!
He pranced around with a rash on his ass for 3 years and didn't even know it. A blatant rashist.
A three-year rash.
DeCamera has more ass issues than a barn full of donkeys.
Audible my ass!
DeCamera is a rash on society. Plus, he admires dictators.
I went Caesar on his ass!
An authoritarian who wants to undermine American democracy.
Vinny Vici!
Arrogant.
That is damn impressive!
Impotent.
I can't get it up.
Egotistical.
I am the greatest thing to ever come from Phil.
Bottom line, Joe DeCamera is a total piece of
shut his hole!
I'm John Ritchie, and I approve this message. Every word of it.
Okay. I can't. That is as good as it gets. It's a good one.
Spot on, also.
Spot on.
Totally.
Yeah, the family planning.
I love that.
The vacation. I forgot the vacation one. Yeah. It's phenomenal.
So how do we go from that to, like, hey, we talked to the Eagles head coach yesterday.
Before we do that, see Joe Conklin with the City Rhythm Orchestra at the Media Theater on Saturday, November 16th, and at Newman Gretti High School in South Philly on Saturday, November 23rd. It's the story of Philly sports through music. Tickets at JoeConklin.com plus Conklin's Comedy Night, 360 Parks Casino. Thursday, November 7th, see Joe DeVito and Gemini Lombardo from America's Got Talent. Show starts at 8 p.m. Tickets include a free drink. Tickets are $20 and include a free drink. Also, tickets to JoeConklin.com. And shout out to Matt Battle, who did a great job.
Yeah, he did. Wechter and Conklin and Battle all put that together. And Mike Andrew.
Talented.
Good work. All right. So we talked to Sirianni very late in yesterday's program. We want to give you a chance to hear that. Then we'll get reaction on the phone lines on all these topics, whether it's the Eagles or the Sixers debacle with Embiid. Sirianni yesterday, we had welcomed him to the show and then started talking about the club. Nick, congrats on that victory and obviously a three-game winning streak. And I would imagine, but you tell us, is this the best you have felt about your squad this year?
You know, obviously, just one game at a time. We're excited about how last game was. You know, we're on to the next game though, and focused on Jacksonville. Good football team in Jacksonville, and so we know the work that we put in for each week is going to determine you know, our success that week. So you don't got time to feel good or feel bad, and you just got to move on and play the next play.
Hey, Nick, Jalen's so tremendous in this last game, particularly in the second half, and I wonder, how do you bottle that up and get him to do it again and again and again?
Sure, yeah. He's strung together a couple of nice games in a row here, and taking care of the football, going to the right place with the ball, accurate throws. The offensive line's done a good job of giving him time to throw, and the receivers are getting open. I think the run game's opened that up. So just, you know, again, he's been practicing really well. And so, again, we know our process throughout the week's going to, you know, bottle that up by, you know, putting your head down, working again, having a good Wednesday practice, having a good Thursday practice, having a good Friday practice. So it's not, I know it's not a glamorous thing to say, but it's like that's the truth of it. And, you know, we'll go back to work this week.
Nick, how have the under center snaps changed the offense for the better?
You know, again, each week calls for something different to, you know, to get into. And, you know, we've ran the ball out of a different personnel group. Sometimes when you get into that 21 or 22 personnel or even 13 personnel at times, you know, you don't have a wider range of plays from, you know, from the gun. Not to say we don't have any. But you don't have a wider range of plays there. And so, you know, the uptick of that has led to some really good runs. You know, with Ben leading through the line of scrimmage and Saquon having a really good feel for those things. And so, and then, you know, some of the flow of the game, being up late like we have been the last two games, where we've been able to take our starters out, you know, that leads to some things too. But, you know, want to be multiple in what we do, and under center is one of those things.
Nick, doesn't it feel like the offense is most effective when you run the ball a lot? We've seen the stats, and they can be misleading, because if you have a big lead in the fourth quarter, you're going to run it a lot to salt the game away. But it just strikes me like when you guys run it earlier, you're better offensively earlier. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, sure. And every game calls for something different, right? And so there's going to be a time where we're going to have to start a game off, and we're going to have to throw it every down. I mean, that's just the nature of this profession and of this game. Like, you know, there's going to be a team that comes out, loads the box, plays a defense that you're not going to, that you don't have the numbers to run it. And so you're going to have to throw it at times, or you change personnel and do something different. And so, again, the way games play out, you always want to follow different formulas, but, you know, defensive coordinators and other coaches in this league are good coaches, right? And they figure things out, and they make you adjust. So we'll have to adjust. And I know one thing that we do well is run the football, and some of the things that come off of that. So that's definitely who we want to be, you know. But, you know, and we'll see. We'll see how each individual game goes. But that's definitely one thing that we know we're doing really well right now is, you know, the effect that Jalen and Saquon have back there in the backfield, and then also the way our O-line's playing, the way our tight ends are blocking, and the way our receivers are blocking.
Nick, you talk about, you know, building the trust and, you know, other coaches sort of vying against you guys as a staff. Can you take us inside that working relationship that you have with Kellen Moore and how you've sort of tweaked your collaboration since the start of the season to make it so much more successful?
Yeah, I think Kellen's a phenomenal, phenomenal football coach. That's why he's here in the first place. He's had a lot of success at different teams with different players. And so, you know, really enjoy working with Kellen and, you know, coming up with answers each week. And, you know, Kellen and our offensive staff have done an unbelievable job of putting the guys in positions to succeed. So it's just been a good, you learn too, right? You learn different things.
Sure.
You know, I think there's been multiple things that I have in my notes that like, ooh, I like that, Kellen, you know, like what you're thinking right there. I like that thought process. I like that thought process. And it's like, you know, and probably vice versa. You'd have to ask Kellen that, see if he's learning anything from us as well. But you know, it's been awesome, you know, to, to go through the process each and every week. You know, love coming in here. I love our coaching staff. I spend a lot of time with our coaching staff. And you got to like the guys that you're around because you spend so much time around them, more than our families. And so, you know, really appreciate, you know, all the guys, particularly Kellen, and the time that, you know, I've got to spend with him. And I get to see him, you know, even like after work hours, because our kids are on the same sporting teams. His son's a really good football player. So he's helped our team get better. I think our team's 5-0 right now. So credit to Kellen.
Is your son
well.
Pretty good?
He's good. Yeah,
what's he play?
He plays quarterback and corner.
He's a lefty
like Kellen, and so I actually have to ask Kellen for some points, right? Hey, how do I teach a lefty this or that?
Wow.
And it's the team's doing good. Our coach Haddon's doing a good job over there for our team.
Nice. Nick, a different kind of interview and a different kind of tenor with the media than 2 weeks ago, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
So Nick, that Washington game the other day, it ends, and you get to see it, and you see the way it ends. Are you at the point, because, you know, you're in a battle now with Washington, are you at the point within the division where you see that and you say, damn it, I wish that didn't just happen?
Yeah, you know, I try to control the things I can control, but, hey, we're human, and then And so you find yourself watching Sunday Night Football and rooting against the Cowboys.
Sure.
You find yourself on the plane ride home, checking in on the score. I had no control over it. We had no control over it. But, you know, we can take some things that happened in the game and learn from them. I know everybody has seen how the game ended, and you learn things from those, and you try to put your guys in those situations. So it went from, you know, damn it, I can't believe they lost.
Sure.
To, okay, what can we use here to get our team better? And, you know, that's something that I take a lot of pride in, is that, you know, we talk a lot about situations and things that happen that pop up in the game. And I know we got the players thinking about it too when they're texting me saying, hey, they should have done this here or that here. And, you know, and that's just not in NFL games. That's over, you know, college games or anything that it is. I mean, we'll take anything from anybody, you know, to help us learn. It's a wider range of emotions. It's, you know, the upset to, okay, what can we learn from it?
That's a pretty unique relationship that your guys text you back and forth about games. Like, that really is neat to hear about, Nick. It feels like our defense has played with so much fire since the bye. What do you think explains that, Nick?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously the defensive staff has done a great job of putting the guys in positions to succeed. And I think anytime you talk about defense, it's always going to start with, are you playing physical? Are you playing on their side of the line of scrimmage? Are you defeating blocks and getting off blocks? Are you making tackles, right? When you have opportunities to take the ball away, are you doing that? And so I think our guys have been playing with great fundamentals because our coaches have been coaching their butts off with the fundamentals. And then, you know, we've just been on the same page. You know, there's a couple mental errors that happened in the game that led to some big plays in the last couple of weeks. But I think the coaches have worked so hard to get the guys to understand in the meeting room and the walkthroughs of, you know, what we're doing versus every different look, right? On defense, you call it defense. But you don't know, like on offense, you call an offense and boom, you go out and you know where to line up right away. And then you got to figure out what the defense is, what structure they're in. On defense, you call it defense, and depending on how they line up, is how you got to line up. And so it starts in a completely different mode. And so, you know, being on the same page is critical in that. And I think that we've done a really good job. I think I was just watching the TV copy this morning of our game. And I love how we're playing as a team and the excitement that they show, you know, together after plays. Like, I'm watching it, and Zach or N'Kobe runs up with the football after Zach stripped the football, and he shoves it in his chest, and they're celebrating, they're going crazy because they've worked so hard to do that. And I love when things like that happen, because you're constantly trying to build team. You know, it's a long process to build a team. And all the little nuggets that show that the team is coming together and are fruits of your labor is really cool and really you know, you really end up appreciating those things and taking a lot of pride in those things.
Nick, do you always watch the TV copy, or is that just something like every once in a while you'll check it out to see if you can catch anything? That seems like, you know, an unusual thing to do. Like, I know the All 22 is what the coaches normally dig into. What makes you watch the TV copy?
Yeah, good question. I've been doing that for a long time. Obviously, my first time watching the game, or the first 10 times watching the game, are from the All 22.
Mm-hmm.
What you can get from the TV copy that I've used my entire career, it really goes back to when I was playing. I would put a tape into the VCR. That's how old I am. I'd hit record, and I was playing wideout in college, and I would just tape all the games that were going to be on CBS or, you know, whatever that
totally.
Was. And I would look for individual shots of the wide receivers, you know, and the DBs, right? Because you get it. What happens is you get a different look of the game. Like, you can see the footwork better. You can see the fundamentals. I'm obsessed with fundamentals. And so you see the fundamentals better when it's zoomed in on the guy, right?
Yeah.
And so you look for those. Now you get 15 clips a game from offense, 15 clips a game from defense that really show it, but you got to sort through all that. And you watch it and you get those zoomed in looks. You know, you get to see different things on different angles of, like, hey, was that really a penalty here? Or was it, you know what I mean? So you go through it that way as well. And so that's always been part of my process, dating back to, I'm age myself, 2001, when I'm playing wide receiver at Mount Union. So I really value that because I really think that you can learn a lot from it, and I think your players can learn a lot from it.
Nick, great stuff. Two final things here, Nick. Doug Peterson, your opponent this weekend. I'm curious if in these last 4 years you and Doug have ever had a moment to talk about what it is like to be the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. There's only, I could add it up, 5 or 6 or 7 of you guys alive that have done it. Have you guys ever shared that conversation?
Yeah, I've appreciated Coach Peterson, and you know, I've obviously respect the heck out of him and all the things that he's done as a head football coach and a player in this league. And we've had conversations for sure. He was so helpful when I first took the job. I really admire that. You know, kind of talking through the different players, you know, different things. And I always admired that. Like, I'm not sure. Like, I think about, hey, if I leave a place, you know, am I gonna help that person out? I'm like, I don't know. Like, that's what makes me admire Doug, is, like, you know, that he was willing to help me as I stepped into the role that he had previously. And so you admire that. And, you know, that actually happened with one of the coaches. I in 2009, my first year with the Kansas City Chiefs, I actually took Kevin Petullo's job. Like, their staff went out, and I took Kevin's job. And I remember calling Kevin, because Chan Gailey was still the coordinator, and Kevin just helped me out of getting through things and doing things, and leads to this relationship. So that's a cool thing about coaching, is like that, you know, everyone, you know, it's a brotherhood, and it's a, you know, you go through unique things together. So I admire Kevin, obviously, as I tell that story, and I admire Doug for those things, and hopefully when I get an opportunity to do the same, I will. I'll do the same, knowing that, you know, people have helped me in the past at jobs that I've stepped into.
That is really fascinating that he did that. That is a really cool story, Nick. It really is.
He's a good man.
Yeah, that's
a good football coach and a good man.
Tremendous. Nick, final thing to the really important things in life. What are you going to be for Halloween?
I don't think I'll get it. What is it, Thursday?
Thursday.
Is that when Halloween is?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be. I don't know if I'm going to make it home for that. So I'll be here. I'll be dressed as Coach Sirianni with the same outfit I have on each and every week. And then I'll get some pictures sent from my wife.
You know what's the funny thing? So I was Buddy Ryan when I was about 9 or 10 years old. So there probably are any number of thousands of kids in the Delaware Valley.
Yeah, how's that feel?
They'll be
knowing
you.
People are dressed up as you.
You. Yeah.
That's cool. I wish my kids would do that. They're going for a different, you know, Taylor's going to be Taylor Swift. And so, you know, sure. That's Miles is a police officer. I don't know what Jacob is, but yeah. So that, I don't think, I know none of them are Nick Sirianni though. So it is what it is.
There you go. Hey, Nick, good luck on Sunday versus the Jags. And we look forward to talking to next week. Thanks, Nick.
All right.
That was a conversation with Nick Sirianni yesterday. Certainly different in tenor than a couple weeks ago, to say the least. I mean, Ruben, you've been through that. There's the fun conversations, and then there's the grilled conversations. And, you know, very different, obviously.
It's no question about it. I mean, you obviously love to be winning, and you love to turn a, you know, flip the switch, yeah. so to speak. But, you know, this guy's a human being. He's a good guy. He's really a good guy.
He's a good guy.
I've talked to a bunch of people about, like, this person. As a person, he's supposed to be an outstanding human being. Yeah. I've never met him. I don't know him. But my feeling about it is, if enough people tell me that he's a good guy, then he's got to be a pretty good guy.
I agree with you. And you know what I thought also? Someone else you always heard was a good guy. John, I really respect that information about Doug Peterson.
I know.
I mean, you get canned, and you make a point to talk to the guy who takes your job and help him understand, here's what you're walking into? That is really amazing.
We knew Doug seemed like the kind of guy you'd just want to have a beer with.
Totally. Yep.
Correct.
That, I mean, just further confirms, you know, Doug is that type of guy.
Yeah.
Just a stand-up, you know, a good dude.
All right, so,
Doug Peterson! Yeah, baby!
Like, what is that?
And unfortunately,
I was wondering what that was about to be.
Unfortunately,
also,
we might get Doug canned if we play the way
I know.
Play you can't put
this
it like
weekend.
That.
It's true.
Got to win the game.
We play the way we're supposed to play.
End.
It could humiliate Doug right out of Jackson.
I love Doug EP, but not that much. You can't lose.
No, you can't lose. James, here's the question. Billy King worked at WIP.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mitch Williams, who gave up the homer in 93.
I see where you're going here.
Worked at WIP. Ruben Amaro works at WIP. And I could go through many others. James, will you help us secure, after he's fired, Doug Peterson to be a contributor to our program?
Oh, yeah. I got the in on Doug. Don't worry. I'm on
How great would that be?
It'd be great.
Weekly Doug?
That'd be phenomenal.
That'd be awesome. All right, Ross Tucker joins us coming up in about 2 minutes. Ken and Mays Landing right now. Ken, good morning.
Hey, good morning, all. How are you?
Doing well, Ken.
I mean, we're more excited about the Eagles, and we're in complete... I mean, it's not a shock about the Sixers, but it is another just disgrace. Another disgrace.
I'm just so excited about what Sunday was. Maybe it's a flash in the pan, maybe not, but seeing Smitty get one, when Saquon turns the corner and just smashes D-back...
Yeah.
Cooper DeJean is my new favorite Eagle. That dude is just fun to watch. And Nolan, where the hell did he come from? What a cool dude to watch. It was just really fun. That open field tackle.
Nolan Smith? Ken, you threw a Nolan Smith in there, too?
He's made a couple plays, but not like the other guys.
I'm not quite ready to go Nolan Smith.
Last couple of games, he's done okay.
He's had moments.
Not in coverage.
Yeah. He's had moments.
And John used the word at the beginning of the show, infusion. I feel like these young guys are infusing a new culture of, like, flying around and everybody's at the ball. And it's just, that was fun to watch. I enjoyed it. It was just, I don't know.
There's a new level of enthusiasm, like enthusiasm for contact. That's what defense needs. You need guys who want to put their face on you. And I'm positive Cooper DeJean brings that. And I think it kind of spreads. I think it permeates. And the confidence that Quinyon Mitchell plays with, that I know that translates. I know that conveys, and that other guys feel that. It helps them feel that way, too.
I have not jumped out of my couch like I did on that Cooper DeJean play.
I literally
jumped out of my couch screaming, "That's how you do it!"
Yeah,
I mean, it was unbelievable.
That's how you do it!
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you do
it! If you're going to say it,
how you do!
There you go.
I mean, that was really good.
Wow.
Well done,
Ray. That is damn impressive!
I was so fired up by that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah,
I haven't been like that. Like, the blocking and tackling has been horrendous the last couple of years.
The way that the defense has stopped recently.
That was big. Hey, Ken, give me a great answer. Ken, in dishonor of the 76ers, give me a fictional lie or something misleading. What do you got?
One of the best roles ever when Bill the Butcher got betrayed by Amsterdam and Gangs of New York.
You got it, man. God, did I hate that movie. But a lot of people liked it. Bill the Butcher. But whatever.
You hated
Gangs
of New York.
Hated that movie. It's not the way human beings...
what do you mean?
It's not the way they exist.
Okay, but it was certainly a different time.
No,
yes, that's how they existed
they didn't exist.
In the 1800s.
No,
dude.
Not when Abe Lincoln was around. That's not the way humans acted.
How do you know?
Because I know.
You were around?
You were hanging out in New Amsterdam at the time.
James, what was your major in college?
I was a communications major.
What was my major?
I don't care what if you were a history major. That does nothing.
History major.
That does nothing for me.
I am certified.
That does zero.
I am an
less
expert.
Than zero.
I am a certified expert
less
on,
than zero.
On what they call
historian.
Wait, Joe,
history.
So what is the most inaccurate thing? The Irish and Italian fighting?
No,
or?
No. The way they act, it was so over the top.
It's a movie.
It's in
not,
terms of violence?
It's, no,
movie.
It's in terms of human interaction. That's not the way, like,
it's
you and I are interacting, right?
It's a movie.
Yeah, but they try to present it as if it was real. That's like, I know The Wizard of Oz ain't real. I get that.
It's a fictionalized version of
no,
something
I get that
happened.
But so, they should have put disclaimer up at the top. This is garbage.
What, you mean the disclaimer like this is a movie?
All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. Never garbage. Brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And at Armin Chevrolet, you'll be seeing pink all month long as they honor survivors and remember those that have passed away. We all hope for a cure. ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question is, we try to assess your assessment of the Eagles this season. Do you think they will win a playoff game this year? Yes or no? Playoff victory, yes or no? We know we feel better. How much better do they win a playoff game? By the way, speaking of games, coming up on Friday at 8 o'clock, you can win a pair of tickets to the Eagles-Jags game. What you got to know is today at 8 o'clock, tomorrow at 8 o'clock, and Friday at 8 o'clock when we give you a different name, courtesy.
Of course, NovaCare Rehabilitation, Power Physical Therapy, our partners for forever. And it's going to be a gorgeous day, Joe. 62.
Look, this is a coveted ticket. Yeah. I mean, this is a 5-2 Eagles team.
4 o'clock game or 425.
Yeah, this is great. You know, awesome. It's a 4 o'clock Eagles game, 4 thereabout, against Doug. A winnable, very winnable game to try to get to 6-2. High point of the year, obviously, already at 5-2. Win those tickets Friday at 8. But listen, in 10 minutes. 10 minutes from now when we give you a name, and you got to know that name Friday at 8 when you can win the tickets courtesy of NovaCare.